my daughter Emily and her husband Rich are expecting their first baby in mid-May. Yes, have another grandchild coming. Yes, and everybody's healthy. My daughter's healthy. The baby's healthy. They're pretty much in isolation, the whole family there being very careful. We don't know the gender yet, and we won't know until the baby is born. Well, we had planned to have a baby shower for them on March the 7th. And friends and family from all over the country were invited to come. And for months, we were looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it, getting to see my children and their families. And, you know, as you get older, it takes a lot of planning and a lot of arranging for everybody to be in the same place at the same time. Well, the baby shower was going to be held at my daughter's in-law's home in New Rochelle, New York. So you know where this is going, right? So as the date of March the 7th approached, it became clear that we couldn't go forward with this. And so really a day or two before the baby shower, we decided to cancel it. And when we canceled it, I cried. Just as I imagine many of you have cried or felt sad or disappointed when some gathering or event in your life was postponed or canceled because of the coronavirus. You know, it's only natural to have that kind of reaction. It's part of being human. But what I noticed about myself is that after feeling sad for a little while, I accepted it. I accepted that we had to cancel the baby shower. Well, really, it was the only thing we could do. It was the right thing to do. And what I found is that when I accepted it, it was like something in me shifted, and I felt better. I felt better. I felt a sense of release. I felt lighter and clearer. You know, disappointed for sure, but ready to move forward. And honestly, this is always the way it feels when we accept what is and stop arguing with reality. When we stop saying things should be different than they are or wishing they were different than they are, when we accept what is, we actually empower ourselves to move on. You know, not that our feelings of sadness or upset or disappointment or frustration, it's not that they aren't justified. It's just that when we accept what is, we free ourselves to go forward. Well, interestingly enough, Jesus actually demonstrated this principle on the day we celebrate as Palm Sunday. I'm sure you're wondering how. Well, let's remember what was happening about 2,000 years ago on the day that we're celebrating today. So it was the first day of Passover week, which is the most holy week in the Jewish year. And as usual on this day, Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor of Judea, he was entering into Jerusalem from the west with his imperial cavalry. And it was a really, you know, big military procession with a lot of pomp and fanfare. And the whole purpose of it was to intimidate the Jewish people, to keep them in line, to really flaunt that Roman power and authority so they wouldn't get any ideas about rising up when they were gathered in such huge numbers for this first day of Passover. But on this particular first day of Passover week, the day we celebrate as Palm Sunday, there was another procession happening on the other side of town, on the east. And it was led by Jesus riding on a young donkey. And he was coming down from the Mount of Olives. We can just picture it in our minds, coming from Galilee, coming down on this colt in such a humble and open-hearted way, and surrounded by crowds of people shouting and spreading their cloaks on the ground and strewing these leafy branches. And they were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Wow, so inspiring to even just think about that. And what an incredible contrast that would have been on that day. We bring it into our mind's eye, that contrast between this imperial parade on the west side of the city that was really geared toward fear and intimidation and domination. And this other procession of the common people coming in from the east, led by a man riding a donkey, and all of them exuding this wonderful faith and love and joy. What a contrast between those two. You know, Jesus' triumphal entry, as it is usually referred to, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem was a brilliant and strategic parody of Pontius Pilate's cavalcade. He was kind of lampooning it, really. But at the same time, it was this courageous statement, this really bold way of coming forward for the kingdom of God being at hand, for really putting all of the energy into that rather than the kingdom of Rome. But what is also interesting is what Jesus didn't do on that day. You see, he didn't deny or ignore that Pontius Pilate and the procession was happening on the other side of the town, and he certainly didn't marshal all the throngs of people to go over there and interfere with it or disrupt it. He didn't go in to incite violence. He wasn't in this mindset, oh, this shouldn't be happening, we must stop it. No. You know, even though Jesus had very strong opposition, in fact, his whole ministry was in opposition to the Roman domination system, the fact that they oppressed women and children, that they basically were oppressing whole classes and exploiting whole classes of people, and that they were sort of touting this racial superiority and ethnocentrism. He was against all that. But he didn't go in to resist it or to fight it. He didn't fight or attack the Roman authorities or the Jewish high priests. No. He just left them be. Let it be. He let them be. He let them do their thing, and then he did his. You see, he accepted what was. You know, one of the common misconceptions is that if we accept what is, that we're being passive or we're condoning it or we're approving of it. Not at all. Accepting what is just means that we are acknowledging, really, reality so that we can kind of get ourselves into that awareness and then very mindfully, very much centered in our own integrity, go forward to do what is ours to do. You see, I like to think of it as sort of the difference between saying, why is this happening or this shouldn't be happening, and saying, okay, this is happening. Now what can I do? I like to think of it as the pairing of now this, now what, right? So now this is happening. Now what do I do? Rather than spending all that energy fighting with what is. Well, I'd like to bring this into the present day today on this Palm Sunday. And I realize this is going to sound like a bit of a stretch, but stay with me here. Because I want to speak about what's going on in our world right now and in our country and in our lives. So I'd like you to imagine substituting for Pontius Pilate's imperial cavalry the coronavirus. And also realize that the metaphysical meaning of Jerusalem is place of peace. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore says that Jerusalem means this place of peace. It is the spiritual center of consciousness wherein we find the presence of God and the peace that passes all understanding. So let's put this symbolism together for a moment and realize that the coronavirus is encroaching on our peace, on our inner peace, on our consciousness of peace, just as Pontius Pilate and his military were intruding on the peace of Jerusalem. And so the question becomes, how do we follow Jesus' example in our response? To follow his example would mean to accept that this is happening, not to ignore it, not to deny it, not to go into fear, not to pretend it isn't happening, not to be irresponsible in it, none of that stuff, but accept that it is happening, and then with all of the faith and courage and wisdom within us, to go forward to take the steps that we can take to make things better, to make a difference. You see, it's accepting what is, but then taking informed and courageous action. And that's really what we're all doing in our society now. We're all doing our part. We're all doing our part to help other people, to protect ourselves and others. So if we're going to accept what is, the very most important first step is to get clear on what is and not the stories that we're making up about it. So we're very good at making up scary stories. What we need to do, particularly with respect to the coronavirus, is separate out what is happening versus what is not happening that we're telling ourselves that is actually creating a lot of suffering for us. You see, it's a discernment of what is. And the best process I know for doing this is Byron Katie's four-step process, which is known as the work. It's a four-step inquiry in which we examine the thoughts, we examine what we're telling ourselves in order to sort of break them apart and come to a realization about what is. But even more, it's about becoming aware of how our thoughts are affecting our well-being. And so today I'd like to do this exercise with you. We're going to step through the four steps of the work and address some of the fears and concerns and the stories that we're telling ourselves about the coronavirus. And so for this, I'd like you to get a piece of paper and a pen. And when you're ready, I'd like you to begin by identifying whatever thought or belief you have about COVID-19 that is overwhelming you, that is essentially scaring you or feels like too much for you to take in, something that's in your consciousness. A thought or belief you have about the coronavirus that is overwhelming or scaring you. And write it on your piece of paper. And don't hold back here. It's important to get it out. You might start with, the coronavirus is spreading, and that means that, and then complete the sentence. You might complete it with something like, that means that people I love are going to get sick and die. Or that I'm going to get sick and die. You might be thinking that the entire economic system as we know it is going to collapse. Or that our healthcare system can't cope. Whatever it is, pick one. Maybe you have all those. Pick one. Write it on your paper. And now let's go through this inquiry process together. So keeping this statement in mind, this thought or belief that you're holding, ask yourself this. Is it true? Is what I'm thinking true? Is it true that this is going to happen? Is it true that what I'm believing is fact or reality? And after you've answered that, ask yourself again, can you absolutely know it's true? Can you absolutely know that this is going to be an outcome or this is going to be a result? Can you know without question that this thought that you're holding is true? Next, how do you react when you think that thought? When you're holding this thought that you've written on your paper, how do you feel? What do you do? How do you react? Write it down. And the fourth question is, who would you be without that thought? Who would you be and how would you be without that thought? How would you feel if you weren't thinking this? How would you be showing up? How would you be relating to life and other people? Who would you be and how would you feel without that thought. You might find that as you imagine releasing that thought, that you feel relief, you feel peace. You say to yourself, if I didn't have that thought, I'd feel more relaxed. I'd feel a softening in me. I'd be back in my body, back in my heart, able to make clear-headed decisions. Now, there's sort of a kicker to this fourth question. It's called the turnaround. We turn it around. So you can take that statement that you've written down and change it around to see if there's a different statement of truth in there or one that you would rather hold. For example, if your belief was people I love are going to get sick and die, you could say people I love are not going to get sick and die, or people I love will stay safe and well. Instead of our health system cannot cope, you can say our health system can cope, our health system will cope, or you might even say my health system can cope. Incredible healing capacity within your own body. These are the steps that we go through to re-examine our thinking. And we realize that with whatever we choose to think, we can create more peace in our lives and in our consciousness. We can bring in more calm, more connection, more consciousness. I actually watched a video the other day on this very process, and you might like to look it up yourself. I just Googled Byron Katie coronavirus. It was an hour and a half long Zoom call, of course, with about 25 people from around the world, and they went through this together, and they listed what their concerns were, what their fears were, what was troubling them. In the beginning, there was so much tension, there was so much anxiety, and at the end of it, when they realized, oh, they didn't have to think that thought, maybe they were thinking something that really wasn't true, that they came into a greater sense of peace and oneness and calm and even gratitude. It's a very, very powerful process here, and you can look it up. You can Google it and get a worksheet called One Belief at a Time. Don't do it now because we're still working on this, but you can do that later. And the thing to remember is that this process is not about forcing us to change our thinking or letting go of a certain thought or adopting a different one. It really is about this sort of internal cause and effect, realizing that when I think this thought, this is the result. And when I think this other thought, that's the result. And then making mindful choices about it. You know, on Palm Sunday, almost 2,000 years ago, there were two processions into Jerusalem. One of them was fueled by fear, and the other was fueled by faith. And so we might ask ourselves today in our own lives, which procession are we in? Ask yourself, which procession am I in? Am I being ruled by fear, or am I being guided by faith? Am I making up stories that are scaring me, that are making my existence so heavy and difficult? Or am I tapping into the presence of God within me to find that place of sureness, that place of strength to move through each day as best I can? You know, to follow Jesus means to accept what is and then mindfully and courageously and filled with faith go forward to make a difference. Always knowing, my friends, that God, the power of God in us, is mightier than any outer circumstance, any outer condition. And absolutely from that most faith-filled place within us, knowing that as we come together, as we work together in love, with wisdom and sureness and strength and faith and unity, that we will prevail. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat, close your eyes, take this moment to breathe in deeply, release and let it go. Let's do that two more times, breathing in deeply, and let it go. One more time, breathing in the beautiful energy of this new day unfolding. Feeling the love of God, the love of this community, the love that we are. Breathe out. On this day, as we celebrate that momentous entry into Jerusalem from our way shower nearly 2,000 years ago, we appreciate that each of us is on our own courageous journey right now. Step by step, we are moving forward. We are learning to accept what is, to hold lightly our expectations, to be flexible, to shift when needed, to do the right thing. But we do this not from a place of fear within us. We do it from a place of sureness and faith, conviction, strength, and resolve. Take a moment now to feel our connection with all of the people throughout history who've gone through difficult times and come out the other side. To know that we all brothers and sisters moving through this together. And that the power of God within us will see us through. Breathing into that knowing. Feeling that permeate every cell of our being. Releasing any made up stories. Any scary thoughts to simply be. Allowing ourselves in this moment to feel our oneness, to feel our faith and our hope in the silence. Jerusalem, our own place of peace within. We remember that this oasis is always there for us if we just turn our attention to it, breathe into it. As we calm ourselves, as we come into that place of peace, we're filled with gratitude. Gratitude for each other, for life, for the learnings along the way, and the many blessings that come to us. For this shared journey and the love that unites us, we are grateful, and so it is. Amen.